Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big bad show tonight. Oh. Now get the gods, the drugs from my generation.
So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable, Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Oh, let me tell you, teach you how to tell time.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling Weekly. I'm Doc Young. Alongside me, of course, my contractual pal, Les Thatcher.
Contractual? What does that mean? Is that an insult or what?
Absolutely not,
Paul
Les.
Paul Smalls, who has a show ahead of us, I don't know his co-host. I know Paul. We've had lunch. He lives here in Cincinnati. And the next time we have lunch, I'm going to say, Paul, let me get you a watch. Okay, we're 7 minutes late going on the air. And, of course, they were discussing the big show from Saturday night, I read. I actually go check the websites once in a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're on the air. First order of business, my condolences out to the Orton family. Bobby Jr., longtime friend. Randy, I've known and worked with. Their father, grandfather and father passed away over the weekend, Bob Sr., who I worked with in 1963 when I wrestled in the Kansas City territory.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you had worked with him because your career has overlapped.
Yeah, actually. I've been involved with all three generations. Bobby, of course, in the Atlanta territory, the Knoxville territory back in the 70s. Bob Sr. in Kansas City in the 60s. And Randy, when I was with the WWE organization and he was down in OVW.
Right.
So, yeah, I worked with all three. I saw Bob Sr. just this last month out in Las Vegas where his home, he makes his home. I was telling my wife just yesterday we were talking about this, and I said, because of back problems, he's used a wheelchair quite a bit. But what little we had a chance to talk during Cauliflower Alley Convention, he was upbeat, seemed healthy, laughing, cutting up, gosh, 77 years old, he's lived a long life, so it's not actually shocking or surprising, but it's just, you didn't see it coming. That's, I guess, the point I'm trying to make. Very, very talented gentleman. He, of course, was a heel throughout, I guess, the majority of his career. I had the chance as a young guy getting, learning my craft in 1963. I'd just been in the business about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a chance to work with him out there a few times, made a few road trips with him in the car, and learned from him. Honestly did. And
was he a good teacher?
Yeah. And he was good in the ring. The one thing that I think that the kids miss today is we're working with one another is that, you could honestly just keep your mouth shut and... when I was a kid, go along for the ride. A good heel walked you through the match. I mean, talked to you, and not in the dressing room. I mean, in the ring, right?
Right.
Okay, kid, do this, go to your left, blah, 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 whatever, whatever the case may be. But, yeah, Bob was a very good teacher in that respect. Patient, a tough guy, too. As I understand, I never had, thank God.
Yeah.
I never was put in a position to find out. But yeah, and like I say, just seeing him, you know, a little over a month ago, and he, you know, again, not that he, you know, he isn't an older guy, but you know, it was sort of a shock too when I got the word. I know he did call a lot of the guys every weekend. He had a list, and that was the way he kept in touch with the business. Wrestler, a lot of my generation and his generation, I guess, were on the phone constantly to each other, sometimes at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, closing a bar down and go to your hotel room and call somebody.
Right.
But anyway, he'll be missed, and I'm sure the family, you know, is having their grief and grieving this, and you know, I like to pass along my most sincere sympathies and condolences to the entire Orton family.
Absolutely, as do all of us over here at Wrestling Weekly. Stevie J mentioned in the chat room, he said it was sad that they didn't even mention Bob Sr. on Raw last night.
Yeah, you know, that surprised me, and honestly did. I don't know. I just finished watching it. I DVR'd it and fell asleep last night. It was too exciting for me. Actually, I passed out. Blood rushed to my head. But anyway, I finished watching it about an hour ago. It's hard to be constructive when I talk about Raw. But anyway, I noticed that Randy pointed in the air with his finger right after, didn't make a big deal out of it. And I just wondered at the time if that's possibly what that was about. Yeah, I would have thought they might have interjected something. The family got an award 2 years ago at Cauliflower Alley in 2004. You know, just a special award because of the family being so involved. You know, Barry O, as he wrestled in WWE, Barry lives out in Vegas, works in the movie industry now, I guess, does some producing or directing, writing possibly. Mm-hmm. I didn't see him this year. I think he was at the convention, but I get so tied up with the training. I talked to him some last year. I didn't get a chance to see him this time around. Yeah, the family got in the way. I mean, the neat thing about the speech 2 years ago, I do remember, is Junior got up and accepted for the family, and he said, the first part of my career, I was Bob Sr.'s son, and now I'm Randy's dad.
Yeah, poor guy. It's like being the middle child.
Yeah, exactly.
Jonathan Hayes from the Steel Cage brings up a good point. He says that he thinks that the mention of Senior passing would give sympathy to Randy, and that's not what they want to do with him. They want to keep the heat on him, especially with SummerSlam coming up.
Well, you know what? That's a valid point too.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's a valid point, and that may be possible. Although, you know, that's now, as funny as it is, that is very old school. And when I say that, there were times when I was doing commentary for Mid-Atlantic Wrestling back in the 70s that we never acknowledged the passing of anyone. Now, I would say this, you realize I did Atlanta, Georgia Championship Wrestling TV, I did Mid-Atlantic, I did the Knoxville show, and the reason for that was they were afraid that it would take the edge off, you know, or bring the fans down and never be able to get them back.
Well, that's true, too. Of course, it also makes them more humanly instead of...
Well, you know, but see, I never found the problem with that, with a human. I mean, when I say that, as old school as I may seem to your generation currently, I was probably ahead of the curve back then because I never looked at it. Well, you know, like they were always afraid, like you wouldn't show an Ivan Koloff. Other than being a bastard, right?
I'm like, right.
And I always thought, well, that's silly because, you know, Al Capone didn't murder people in his house, right? I mean, he went home to his wife and kids, and he was a normal human being.
True.
As normal as, I guess, as a guy ahead of the mafia could be. But, you know, I don't know whether my business back then in the 60s and 70s tried to make you think that this heel went home and kicked the dog and beat his wife too, right? Or that he was this way when he went to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he slapped the clerk. I mean, I used to think these were thoughts that went through my head as a young man and wondered Why do we do that? Well, and real quickly, I got a little history there. When I first put together and produced the Southeastern Wrestling Show in Knoxville back in 1974, one of the things I included in our program was a 5-minute segment pre-taped in the middle of the show called Personality Profile.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, say, for example, you were my guest. We had like a sit-down thing, like a Johnny Carson, like Tonight Show set.
Right.
And we didn't, well, we did use it for promotion of matches occasionally. But the initial idea of the thing was, like, hey, this is Doc Young. Doc, what did you do in high school? If you had an interesting hobby or something different, you know, that you were involved in. If, say you grew roses or something, right, which was strange for, you know, a wrestler. It was a different direction. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your hobbies, your family. You know, we got into to the things that made you tick.
And WWE stole it and called it Tuesday Night Titans, right?
Yes, they did. We started. I can tell you, I had a male cheerleader 6 years ago too.
Right.
But anyway, that was it. And I was told by a lot of the old timers, you can't do this. And what do you mean I can't? Well, you know, that's put that in 5 minutes in the middle of the show. It brings people down. But it gave the people a different perspective on the wrestlers. Right now, don't get me wrong. I didn't put heels on there. And have the heels talk about kissing babies, right, or anything.
Right.
But it was basically, we used it with baby faces, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I got the idea simply from the NFL, quite frankly. Because during halftime, back in the 70s, they were doing a thing where, like, for example, a defensive tackle might paint, right?
Right.
You wouldn't think this guy who was, you know, the blue-collar worker of pro football would do anything quite that delicate or that artistic. But that was what intrigued me, right, was the idea that it was against the grain. I always wanted to do a thing. I always had with Joe Laurinaitis, Animal of the Road Warriors, because he coached his kids, right?
Mm.
And I always envisioned doing a thing with him, working with the kids and being soft-spoken and, you know, a father, and then, you know, interspersed with clips of him ripping guys' heads off and stuff. I just, you know, that was my creative streak. But anyway,
Do you think that's better than, I mean, when you're running a wrestling promotion, don't you want your wrestlers to seem larger than life? And
yes and no. Again, Hogan doesn't do it so much anymore. When Hogan used to wear his wrestling gear, he and Randy Savage wore their wrestling gear on Johnny Carson. That used to embarrass me.
Why is that?
Well, the guy who played Batman didn't wear his Batman costume.
Right? Oh, that's true.
You know, I'm thinking, Jesus. Well, to me, my stance has always been this. My 46th anniversary was July the 4th in this business. That's 46 years I've spent in this goofy industry. But coming in, even at age 19, I was aware that a lot of people looked down their nose at the profession I was pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always tried to bring a little class to the business. When I was never insulted when somebody in 1965 or 1975 said, you're a wrestler, really? Meaning that I came across like I didn't drool when I spoke, and I could go past saying hello and goodbye. You
and
know?
You had all your
and
teeth.
I could use words and two syllables.
You're right.
See, yeah, I don't. It's like I'm trying to grab an example. Well, Dick Butkus as a linebacker is an animal, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the way. But that wasn't. You know, he didn't go out and rip the heads off of little kids when he was in his front yard, for Christ's sake.
Right.
You know, there's and it's like, I mentioned Clements earlier. Will he dust you back with that fastball? You bet your ass he will. You know, if the two lead batters ahead of you taking him downtown, then be ready to duck.
Yeah.
You know, but he's not going home and slap his kids around unnecessarily. See, and that's my point. There's more than one side to the coin. And I think the more side, well, one of the things is personality profile, and I know we're filling time here, but anyway, one of the things that this personality profile, my point was, with putting in the show in 1974, was that it gave a different side, and I'll give you a quick example of the value of that. Bob Armstrong did the thing with me. Bob and I used to play a game on the road. He would give me the name of song. This was 50s rock and roll doo-wop groups and so forth, right?
Right.
He'd give me the name of song. I'd give him the name of the artist. And back and forth, and that was just to fill time on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So when we did the personality profile with Bob, toward the end, I said, something that Bob and I used to, and I explained to the audience, this is what we used to do. And he said, no, I always won. I said, no, you didn't. And we were jacking around with each other. So I said, well, how about, come go with me, Del Vikings, and back and forth. So we went off the air. We closed the segment out with that. This show aired on Saturday. The following Friday night at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum, this very nicely dressed lady came up to me, and she said, you're Mr. Thatcher? And I said, yeah, I'm Les. And, I'm so-and-so, and I'm the secretary to Professor whoever, it's been too many years ago, but...
Right.
Who is in the University of Tennessee History Department, and he watches your show. And he wondered if you and Mr. Armstrong were just doing the 50s rock and roll thing for the show, or you actually are into that. I said, no, we're at... Oh, she said, well, good. I've got something for you. She had two typewritten pages for each one of us with self-addressed stamped envelopes because this professor was into 50s rock and roll in the doo-wop groups.
Mm-hmm.
And he wondered if we really knew what we were talking about. And it was basically a test, right?
Uh-huh.
That he wanted us to fill out and mail back to it. But the point I'm getting at here is we hooked him because of the music, right?
Right.
Not necessarily. I mean, we hooked him like more, so we reeled him in. And let me back up even further to 1966 and tell you where this idea first initiated. I first initiated this idea. I went into Atlanta for the very first time to wrestle, and... Leo Garibaldi was the booker, and so the first time I did Georgia Championship Wrestling TV, Ed Capel was the announcer, and Leo said, you're just getting here, and you're not involved in any angles or storylines, as you guys call it today, now, is this drag racing thing legit, or is that part of your publicity? And I said, no, it's legit, because I actually was drag racing on the strip. But when I was 15 years old, before I was licensed to drive here in the state of Ohio.
Mm.
And I said, no. He said, well, do you know anything about any racers or the tracks here in Georgia? And I said, sure. The Platt brothers and Pete Wright, and Battleoffs this drag strip and that drag strip. He said, well, I'm going to get Ed to ask you about that. And I said, okay, fine. Because, again, I wasn't involved in anything. So
right.
We talked about wrestling. And he said, and I understand you're involved heavily into drag racing. I said, yes, I've been involved in National Hot Rod Association, raced at the Nationals, blah, blah, blah. So we talked about it. So anyway, the tape bicycled around the territory, and I was up in Augusta at Bell Auditorium. And I had wrestled and showered and came out to watch the matches. And this lady came up, and she said, Mr. Thatcher, are you going to be out here for a while? And I said, yes, ma'am. Well, my grandson would like to meet you. And I said, okay, fine. So she left and came back with this, I guess, 14, 15-year-old boy. And so we started talking, and I said, well, do you come to the matches every Monday night with your grandmother? And before he can ask, she said, no, this is the first time he's ever been here, and that's because of you. And I said, really? She said, yeah. She said, he watches wrestling with me every Saturday, but until he heard you, he's so much into hot rods, and he heard you talking about that, so he wanted to come down here and meet you.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized at that point that I had sold a ticket to a wrestling match, not because of my wrestling talent or anybody else's, but because of he and I having the same hobby.
Right.
And let me parallel that with something else. If you're into NASCAR, the big thing that hooks people in NASCAR is that guy's driving my car. And, of course, all you're seeing is a shell that may look similar to the car you're driving on the street and obviously isn't.
Right.
But it's the same brand. It's a Dodge or a Ford or a Chevrolet, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the identification. So when I got into producing television and started to get involved with things, I thought, wow, why not? It's like, hey, I'm a fan of Doc Young's. He plays golf, so why? But you see, that hooks me deeper, right?
It's more like he plays video golf, but
but
I get what you're saying.
But you see, we can identify, right?
Right, right.
He does the same thing I do. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So that was the whole object of the thing. Yeah, so to go back 10 miles from when we first started with this. No, I don't see the problem with making human people. I mean, well, here's the other thing. Right today, our business is at such where nobody believes in anyway.
Right.
When I say that, I don't say that in animosity. It's just because it's a statement of fact, for the most part, you know. So why not utilize that to a certain thing? You know, I mean, I'm trying to. I can't think of anybody right now who has a term, you know, a particular hobby that you might jump on and say that's cool, you know. But I see, you know, going outside the business. Vito goes shopping in his dress. Hey. I'm not a cross-dresser, but if you are and a wrestling fan, that probably turns you on, right? Holly said, man, that's cool. I want to see what Vito's wearing this week. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Why is Vito not part of the Diva search?
I get what you're saying. We got to get some other news here. Of course, Bob Orton Sr. wasn't the only, death over the weekend. William Hawkins, known as Billy Firehawk, passed away on Monday at the age of 40 while in Canada on vacation. Hawkins has been the promoter of NWA Cyberspace, which recently changed their name to NWA Shockwave, which has run in New Jersey for the last few years.
Yeah, never met him. I did read about that on a couple websites, but I've never met the gentleman. I did mention to my wife that while the thought that diabetes takes people at such a young age.
Right. The story going around is that he had diabetes, didn't know it, and became really ill over the weekend and was hospitalized for it, and he passed away just last night.
Wow. Yeah, that's really a shame. I mean, that's young. You know, again, not that I think it is great that Bob Sr.'s gone, but at 77, he lived a long life, you know.
Yeah.
And but at 40, man, it's still a lot to go.
Absolutely.
You know, so halfway there almost, you know, in terms of the two guys of Bob Sr. and Billy Firehawk. But, yeah, I didn't know him, but it's a shame, especially at that young of age.
Here's some good news for you, Les. The Wrestling Observer is reporting that all the members of the Spirit Squad were informed last night at Raw that WWE would be breaking up the group.
I was just going to mention that to you, and yes, it is good news. Well, you know, Doc, here again, and I know the word logic on this show, you get nauseated and want to hang up on me, but I said, and you're going to have to explain this. I mean, it's like I mentioned to you about the whole elimination match thing didn't make any sense.
Right.
Because Triple H and HBK both individually or collectively handed these five guys their butts anyway. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Saturday night, if you watch everyone going through the motions on the very, very lukewarm Saturday night main event,
right?
It was a cartoon show.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to my friend J.J. Dillon as of yesterday, and I said, why? How can he possibly be the tag team champions? What the hell does the tag team belts mean after, I mean, this whole, they were embarrassed more so on Saturday night. So, yeah. I mean, if 5-on-2 can't get it done, you know, what was it Cornette said? Jiffy Loop's hiring.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, how can they possibly be your tag team champions?
And if they can't beat them 5-on-2 in a regular match, how are they going to beat them in an elimination match?
Exactly. That whole show, it was just everybody going through the motions. It was quite frankly that it got a 2.7 rating.
Mm-hmm.
I marveled at that. If you told me it got a 2, I would have said, yeah, okay. Let me say, you know, and I don't mean this to be offensive to anyone. I'm not mad at anyone. I for the first time in 46 years, I watch wrestling not because I'm enjoying it, not because I'm excited about it. I watch it because I work in the industry. And when I say that, I'm sad to say that. It
Right.
saddens me to make that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wrote a column on Insider a couple weeks ago that everybody's going for, it's everybody's taking shortcuts. Nobody's wanting to work for the solid heat. And, well, you know, in Saturday night, watching Helmsley and Michaels, I'm thinking, Jesus, these guys are strong, over stronger than any baby faces they've got currently.
Right.
And there should be a heel team for them to work with. But there isn't.
No, there's five idiots.
Well, yes. Well, you know what? And now those guys, the one of those guys I have worked with is Johnny Jeter.
Right.
And Jeter's a hell of a little hand. I mean, he really is.
Mm-hmm.
Individually, I can't speak for the rest of the guys, and I can't, knock them either. I don't know. But anyway, they're being broke up. I see why. The thing of it is they've been burnt out recklessly, with very little value, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like you opening a bottle of champagne and setting all the candles, lighting all the candles in the living room, and the girl doesn't show up.
Right. They haven't gotten over on anybody that is of, any importance that's high up on the roster. Nobody in this whole time.
Exactly.
And all they are is practicing dummies, basically.
Yeah. Well, and it's just like I say, the trampoline. Well, and then watching last night, it's like I'm thinking HBK's got to put Shane over, and I don't. And again, this is not a personal issue. Am I mad at Shane, man? No, I'm not mad at Shane. And it's him and Dad's business. They can do what the hell they want. It's not, but I don't have to like it.
Exactly.
It's like I said to you before we went on the air. I'm likening this to George Steinbrenner saying if Roger Clemens was still pitching for the Sox, the Red Sox, and Steinbrenner said, well, none of you guys can hit him. I'll put a uniform. I'll go out and hit him tomorrow.
Right.
Come on. See, again, and am I supposed to suspend my disbelief for that? No.
Yeah.
I mean, I can, but I've got to know what I'm smoking before
I do. It's like pretending you're a ballerina.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah,
let me get down to the ratings from last week real quick. Then we're going to go to Brian Alvarez with the Hot Topic. We'll have some more news coming up later in the show. The July 10th edition of Monday Night Raw drew a final 3.9 cable rating. The first hour was a 3.5. The second hour, a 4.2. That's up from last week's, the previous week's low 3.6 number due to July 4th. On ECW on last Tuesday, they drew a final 2.4 cable rating. That's way up from the previous week of 1.5 due to the July 4th holiday. And it's the second best ever so far for the Sci-Fi Network. On Thursday, it was a big week of wrestling. I mean, there was a show almost every day.
Wait till MTV gets on, and then wait till this TNT show gets on this Mad Network.
Oh, yeah. The July 13th edition on last Thursday, TNA Impact, drew a final 0.9 cable rating with a 1.8 share. That number's down from the previous week's 1.0 rating, and it's kind of down from the strong 1.1 3 weeks ago. Although it's not a huge drop, that probably wasn't the number TNA was hoping for heading into Victory Road pay-per-view this weekend.
I think their priorities are mixed. Joe was barely in the game this past Sunday night. I think that's a mistake. When Scott D'Amore, and again, I like Scott D'Amore. I know him personally. I have no problem with Scott, except when he gets more time than the matches to disband the Canadian faction, or that the referee with the shorts on gets more face time than the wrestlers.
Right.
Your priorities are screwed up, period, end of story. So are your numbers down? I guess so. But, the thing with the ECW deal is even a 1-4 or a 2 even or a 1-9 is a big number for the Sci-Fi Channel.
Absolutely, yes.
And they don't have to be wrestling fans to realize that they've got more people watching their station in that particular hour than they have the rest, any hour, other hour throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
It's good for them. Is it good for the wrestling business? I don't think so. I think if you're an ECW fan, let me say this. I was into, Benoit, Malenko, that whole thing. I'm not a slice and dice kind of guy. And when I see all, that's the other thing is I see we're going to burn out pretty quick too. Since ECW comes back, that means that TNA has picked up the pace with table. If I never see another table broken, it'll be really cool. Does this excite me? I don't think so. It's just now everybody's doing the hardcore thing.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we burn that out just a couple years ago doing the same thing?
Right.
I mean, we had both the big companies had a hardcore champion, and they beat each other. Well, you were talking about the Spirit Squad. Saturday night, I thought, wow, the plastic megaphone is killing these guys. Then that means my granddaughter could probably beat the hell out of them, too. See, you can't, I'm sorry. To me, this business is an art form that is being bastardized. And if you like it, that's fine. If you don't like what I'm saying, I don't give a damn.
Right.
Because I've lost a little blood and body parts and have rotor cuff problems and so forth and so on simply because I've given my life to this business. So... and it's just, I'm not impressed by all that.
Right. The July 14th edition of WWE's Friday Night SmackDown drew a final 2.1 broadcast rating with a 4.2 share. That's down from the previous week's 2.7. But the 2.7 week had some big preemptions in New York and Washington, among other places. Batista's return to SmackDown was that night. And it led SmackDown to the second highest rated network sports show of the week, only trailing the Sunday coverage of the Western Open Golf Tournament on ABC.
You know what? Right now, and when I say this, it's not like there's somebody waiting in the wings to go to war, but if you were a billionaire and had any decent wrestling talent at all, WWE right now is weak in terms of depth of talent. There's a lot of good guys that are on the shelf. Michaels is going to cut back here pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
Mysterio needs knee surgery again.
Yes.
Benoit is out nursing injuries. There's a question of whether JBL ever come back again due to the injury, and the vicious, bloodthirsty fans say, come on, kill yourselves. Screw you.
Right.
There's my answer to that. What would cure this? If you could take all these people that are saying, go ahead, take a goofier bump, if you could take them in the ring, it wouldn't, Doc, let me guarantee you, whether it's you or anybody else, it wouldn't take 5 minutes of putting you through a few bumps to say, okay, I understand what you're saying, Les.
Right.
Because I don't want to put my body, I don't want to put my body through this for 5 minutes, never mind 5 days a week.
Exactly.
And I say that because I want to see these guys be able to play with their grandchildren when they get to be my age,
mm-hmm.
and not be locked in a wheelchair.
Right.
You know?
Lastly, the July 15th edition of Saturday night's main event on NBC drew a reported 2.65 ratings, according to the Fast Nationals. That's horrible, horrible, horrible news for WWE. They finished last in the night against rerun programming. Although it should be noted that none of the networks really did any good numbers on that night.
Well, Saturday night's not a strong. It's not a night you put on top flight programming because, here's the other part. Indians speak with forked tongue here. WWE says their demographic is the 18 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where are the 18 to 25 people on Saturday night?
They're out.
Exactly. So it's kind of you're playing with yourself, aren't you?
Pretty much.
Self-abuse.
It was a little bit different when they had Saturday night's main event back in the 80s.
Sure.
Because it was a different audience.
Well, you realize that's been 21 years ago. And 21, 20 years ago, what's the difference? But the point is, how many more networks have been added to your cable system
in
that 20 years, right?
Hundreds.
I mean, we have Time Warner, and I'm not sure, I couldn't tell you all the cable. I never knew Sci-Fi was on. I mean, I knew it was on, but I never watched it till ECW.
Right.
Never even knew what number it was.
Right.
I mean, I've got channel listings up into 1,011, for God's sakes.
Jeez.
No, I mean, really. So.
I'm coming to your house.
You are? Well, okay.
Watch some TVs. Sit on the couch.
If I told you what the cable bill was, you'd say, I'm not coming to your house. No, but seriously, So, I mean, that's the entertainment dollars, not just in wrestling, but in everything, has been spread out thinner.
Yeah. To make a comparison about Saturday night's main event, the first show back in March hit a 3.11 overnight rating. Adding Hulk Hogan really didn't make a difference.
No. Well, hey, guess what? He and Randy Orton had an issue.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm so surprised.
I am too. I had no idea he even liked Brooke at all.
We're being facetious, of course. That goes against the entire grain of our business.
Yeah, we had talked about that before in the show. It's a surprise factor. They just blurted it out, basically.
Well, there is no surprise, right?
Right. They basically told you what was going to happen. If you had the mentality of a 12-year-old, you knew what was going on.
Sure.
That's all for that. And I'm just going to end with one thing on this. You probably have seen the last Saturday night's main event.
I would think so.
I'm telling everybody that right now. You probably already seen the last one. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Brian Alvarez from the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter is going to be with us for Hot Topic, and he's also on the Brian and Vinny Show, the hugely popular Brian and Vinny Show.
Yes, he is.
Brian Alvarez coming up on Wrestling Weekly. When we come back, you're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Stick around. We'll be back after this.
The tenant in apartment A is brushing with Brand X toothpaste, which is designed to better help whiten teeth and remove tartar buildup, while the tenant in apartment B is brushing with Gamma Fresh. Gamma Fresh brand toothpaste, now with radioactive mutagen. It's the only toothpaste designed to turn you into a giant gelatinous blob with powerful laser beam vision. 4 out of 5 mad scientists agree you'll be an unstoppable killing machine with healthier teeth and gums if you use Gamma Fresh brand toothpaste.
Oh my God, it's destroying the city!
Looks like someone's been brushing with Gamma Fresh. Gamma Fresh brand toothpaste, another fine product of Scum Co.
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip. It's just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW.
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw.
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now for a hot topic from the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter and the Brian and Vinny Show, among other. He's got a whole long resume. I'm not going to get into it. Brian Alvarez on the show. Brian, thanks for being with us this week.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for a young guy, he does have a long resume. He's a writer. He's a wrestler. He's a comedian.
Oh, God, now that's a job I'll never have.
Yeah, you need to write jokes for our show.
Never happened. If I tried to write jokes, the show would tank.
Let me say this to our listeners. If you haven't been to Figure Four Weekly, the website, or if you don't subscribe to the newsletter, you should. Brian writes it in a, I mean, he reviews things just like the rest of us mortals, but he does it with a tongue-in-cheek, and it's far funnier than listen to me, bitch.
Right. It doesn't bring you down when you're done.
No, I laugh and say, yes, he's right.
I do plenty of bitching. Don't get the wrong idea here.
Absolutely.
And when you say Brian and Vinny, but Grandma's involved, too.
Yes, my grandmother, in fact. She was a huge fan of Rob Van Dam, believe it or not. She used to watch wrestling all the time, and she loved RVD. And then, you know, WWE destroyed him, and that was pretty much the end of my grandmother, so they drove off one older fan. And I haven't even told her about the drug bust yet, so I hope she's not listening right now.
Well, you live up in that part of the country where he probably gets a good amount of his stock.
Yeah. Could be.
Maybe Grandma knows more about that than she's let on.
She may. They dug that big tunnel under the border. I was very impressed by that story.
we were talking about Saturday night main event, the bad rating, that it may probably be the last one. We mentioned this before we went back on the air, but for those of you listening who don't know, Brian did wrestle on the independent scene for 6 years. And Brian and I were talking, and we came to the conclusion that they just walked through Saturday night. I mean, it was not a great effort, was it, Brian?
It wasn't, and there were a lot of problems with the show. Part of the problem was, in the first match, I think there probably would have been a lot of effort, but Mark Henry got hurt. And once he got hurt, the whole match just completely fell apart.
Right.
And they threw in the mixed tag match, which they didn't need on the show. And it was rushed. They had like 2 minutes or something like that, and it was horrible. The Sabu match, ever since he got busted, he's been nervous, and he just looked horrible.
They just went through their spots, too, didn't they?
Yeah, it was
just... Let's get these in and get out of here. Right?
Yep, and then we had the Spirit Squad match, which was just a way to destroy the Spirit Squad, and they're doomed. They're going to be broken up.
Right.
So, yeah, and then the main event, I think the main event they at least sort of tried, but it was still, again, rushed. Kind of a B-level main event, and just a real bad show in every possible way, really.
Yeah, and of course they the whole build-up to tonight's main event on ECW was part of Saturday night, and as hard as as Taker works, and as hard as and bless his heart, Paul Show works hard. I think Callie should go back to being a policeman in India.
Well, he may soon, for all we know.
Absolutely.
I thought they had long-term plans for him, or at least some sort of long-term plan, but the fact that he's on TV every single week indicates that this ain't going to last a whole lot longer.
It reeks of early burnout.
Yeah. And after Undertaker beats him, what do you really have left?
I call it Eugene-itis.
It's a good Fear Squad-itis now.
Yes. Really? Spirit Squad, all five of them have Eugene-itis, but... they were actually the late 2006 Eugenes, and this year it's, of course, in my opinion, only. I don't know about you guys, but the Highlanders.
The Highlanders?
Yes.
Well, we'll see what happens with the Highlanders. I saw them in Ohio Valley, and I was not blown away by them, and the people weren't blown away by them last night.
You don't think so?
Eh.
I saw a lot of cheers for a team that's brand new.
For a team actually that's been in 2 weeks, that's probably true. But in general, you know, when you get a team that gets brought up, they're sort of going to get that reaction where they may get cheers for certain things, but you can tell the people really aren't into them yet. But they may be next week because they'll probably end up beating the Spirit Squad, that'll be that. So
you know what, guys, I'm going to tell you what scares me. I read this review on a website 2 weeks ago. It was about Jamie Noble and Kid Cash against Brian Kendricks and Paul London. And the guy writing the review, and of course, to his credit, it's just his opinion, obviously, but he said Brian Kendricks spent part of the match playing like Ricky Morton. And I thought, Jesus, that's a shame that he actually tried to be like one of the greatest workers I've ever seen in my life in terms of timing.
Yeah.
And this guy was saying it in a negative way, and he said they had an average tag team match. And I thought, yeah, which is very hard in this day and age to see. Actually average tag team match that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking, and Noble is, I mean, Kid Cash I don't know, but I know, I've seen him, enough to know that he's a good worker. Noble spent a year with me, and his work ethic is unmatched, and he's a tremendous talent. And the sad thing is too many guys are actually more concerned with goofy bumps and comedy than they are actually what our business was based on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually a big fan of the Pitbulls. The last couple of weeks on TV, I thought they looked great.
Yeah.
And Kendrick, Frank Kendrick and Paul London, they're a good team, but all those guys are just handicapped with that. They should just get rid of the Cruiserweight division because it's a label placed on you, and once you've got that label placed on you, you're just done. Nobody's going to take you seriously no matter how good you are.
You know what, though, Brian? I had this conversation a while back with a guy. I said, I was a junior heavyweight, which I never looked at in 20 years in the ring as a stigma.
Sure.
Because, if I wrestled for the junior title, whether it be regional or the world title, I knew it wasn't going to be the top match. It was going to be second from the top or maybe third from the top.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still prestigious, and I think it comes down to the way these things are presented. It's not so much that it is a stigma at this point, but not because the guys aren't talented, or it couldn't be. It's like I think Helms is a pretty good heel as a cruiser champion. I know when I saw he and Mysterio, I thought just how much better would this have been if Greg had been given a couple strong wins the weeks leading into the show, and then it was title. And the storyline, my storyline would have been, well, Greg Helms says if one certified cruiserweight can actually win the heavyweight title, then why can't I be the first one to own both titles at the same time?
Well, the problem is the stigma was created by WWE, and I think that one of the big stories of the year is just how big UFC is getting and how many pro wrestling lessons you can learn from UFC that nobody is bothering to even try and learn.
Yeah.
And when you watch UFC, the hottest division they've got is that light heavyweight division.
Right.
And, they're not the biggest guys on the card. And really, in Pride, it would be the same thing, except you've actually got an awesome heavyweight roster. But, their middleweights are fantastic. And it's possible to have a division of smaller guys that everybody takes seriously. But the whole deal is you've got to take those guys seriously.
Yes.
And WWE in no way takes them seriously. And if they don't take them seriously, there's no way the fans are going to.
No,
and
I agree.
We've seen it for years.
Right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, that was funny. And when I had HWA and the about a year and a half that we were with WWE, I had some of the best damn cruiser. I mean, I had a crew of cruiserweights that stole the show.
Yeah.
And it's not just that either. I was telling the same guy. I said Val Venus and Jamie Noble went out on one of my shows and went over 20 minutes. Had the people in the palm of their hand. There were no stupid bumps. It was a story they told, and the story was that Jamie, even giving up so much size, was pecking away at Val at the leg, and Val was, and it looked like Jamie was going to beat him. Val stole it at the end. Jamie got the standing ovation on his way out of the ring. But I mean, the point was, nobody went out there and took their lives in their hands, to ruin their end of their careers because they had to entertain some bloodthirsty SOB that wanted to see them fall on their head.
And I hate to go back to UFC again, but this is another example of the biggest star in the 90s was Hoist Gracie.
Right.
And the gimmick was he was a small man that just kept beating larger men.
Yeah.
And, if Vince McMahon would have been in charge of UFC, he would have just said, Gracie's too small. And that would have been the end of that. But, he was, and today, to this day, the biggest buy rate they've ever done, 600,000 buys, destroys everything that WWE has done this year and probably equals WrestleMania with Hoist Gracie coming back, the little guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you just got to take him seriously.
Well, you know, your sidekick on Wrestling Observer Radio, Dave and I had this conversation a couple weeks ago. And I said, going back and watching some of the old tapes on Spike, watching Gracie and Chemo.
Yeah.
And where he's skimming up 100 pounds?
Yep.
And Chemo's on top, and when they finally break on the fence, Chemo's face looks like somebody's, like, chopped liver, for God's sakes. Gracie's beating to death from the bottom position.
Yep.
And to put that into the pro wrestling context, if you look at Rey Mysterio, for a long time they wanted Rey to be at a top level, and so they protected him. They were very careful to protect him.
Right.
And I can remember all the way up to mid-January, I was like, why not put the title on Rey? Everybody's going to buy it. He's at the level of all these top guys. Why not? And it was starting with the Royal Rumble that they started pushing him to that level, and then they started beating him all the time, just beating him left and right. And nowadays, you know, it's like he's been beaten so badly that it's tough to take him seriously at this point.
Yeah.
And
right.
It would have been so easy to just keep doing what you were doing with him, just protect the guy, and everything would have been totally fine. But now, you know, what can you do?
Well, you're right. And you know, I said to Doc, too, before you came on, I said, you know, to me, I'm about logic and common sense. I mean, that's the way I was raised in this business. And I just, you know, it's like when we play this, the pay-per-view coming up this weekend, and Doc picks the winner. And I said, I'm at a disadvantage because I've got 46 years of making sense in this stupid business. And so I obviously look at it logically, which is the wrong way to look at it today.
Well, okay, let me go back again. I hate to digress to UFC again, but here you go.
No, you should. I agree with you on all your counts. Go ahead.
The thing with Hoist and the thing with UFC was nobody knew what a real fight was. And everybody had this idea in their mind. And what UFC was, when people actually learned what a real fight was, it was totally different than what they had thought. They learned, I guess, a new logic. And the thing with WWE is, in any wrestling promotion, is you can look at it and go, it doesn't make any sense for this little guy to beat these big guys.
Right.
And when you watched Hoist Gracie, it really didn't make sense at first glance to see him beating all these larger men.
But
when you see it happen over and over and over again, it does start to actually make sense. And in pro wrestling, when you have the ability to do anything you want, anybody can win on any given day, anybody can beat anything else, you have complete control. To not make the most of that and to not create stars with the ability to do that is ridiculous. And UFC has done such a fantastic job creating stars, and WWE, which has full control over everything, has not. And that, to me, is just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, the one thing, J.J. Dillon and I were just talking, and we were talking about the UFC. I said the one place where UFC could utilize the wrestling mentality is in the horrible response to the last Ortiz-Shamrock thing, travesty. And I said if you could have convinced those guys that done business where Ortiz would have made it look like the old man was going to beat him into the second round and then opened up and did just exactly what he did, the fans would have been happy with it.
Which is actually sort of how pro wrestling became what pro wrestling is today.
Sure, you're right. You're right. Because if I'd have paid $750 for a seat there, I'd have been pissed.
Oh yeah. And that's the thing. You have no control.
I know.
And things happen.
Yeah. There's a couple questions in the chat room for you, Brian.
Okay.
Red wants to know, what do you think of what happened with Lillian Haas and Viscera?
What do I think happened?
What do you think of what happened?
I try to think about it as little as possible, to be honest with you. It was just, I see it as just something where they wanted to put Viscera and Charlie Haas together as a team because they had absolutely nothing to do with either of them. Lillian is not the most popular person backstage, and so she was sort of the one that had to suffer through all of this. And then we have to suffer by watching them do matches.
Yeah, I have to second your emotion right down the line, brother. I really do.
Stevie J says, please ask Brian for an update on Bradshaw's health, since I believe that was what led him to become an announcer.
Yeah, he's got a really bad back injury, and he was taking time off to, rehab it. I've heard nothing else. I don't know if he needs surgery or anything like that. For the first week, it sort of seemed like he was building up to a comeback because he was standing up a lot. He was getting in people's faces. And now there has been none of that, which sort of indicates there may not be any plans anytime soon to bring him back. But thing you also have to consider is when you have a guy like Mark Henry, who they had major plans for, and he's out for 6 months, this is the time, and you've got Chris Benoit out and guys like that, this is the time where they sort of go to people and try to persuade them to perhaps come back. So that may happen with JBL, because God knows they need top guys, but I don't think there are any plans right now to bring him back.
Blaze Man says, Brian, do you think that the match quality has been compromised since they brought back Saturday night's main event?
I don't quite understand the question.
I'm thinking he means
from the first
run of Saturday night's main event to the second run.
I think, if anything, my answer would be that the match quality has been compromised because they, especially this past week, they just try to get too much stuff on the show. I mean, if you've got a two-hour show, when I looked at the lineup a few days before, I mean, I was like, how are they going to do all this stuff on this show? There's like five matches. There's a Hulk Hogan deal. There's probably going to be some other stuff as well. There's just too much stuff on a two-hour show, and there was, and all the matches suffered. So I would agree with that. They could have done without the mixed tag. They could have cut the Undertaker. They didn't even need the Undertaker thing, really. But, you know.
Yeah.
You know, don't you think, again, when I was talking to Dave Meltzer a couple weeks ago, we both agreed that, surprise, surprise, that some people actually turn on wrestling to see wrestling, opposed to bad comedy and sophomoric potty jokes, you know? And I think, well, Dean Malenko said it best. He told a bunch of my kids when he was at the camp one day the reason he was retiring, because what he does he can't do in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
I think the thing with wrestling TV shows is the key is your show just needs to be entertaining. And there were a lot of periods during the late 90s where there was not a whole lot of wrestling on the show, but the non-wrestling segments were at least entertaining. You had Austin, you had Rock, you had all sorts of funny, cool stuff.
Right.
And if you have that, that's fine. But nowadays, when you don't have the wrestling, and the extracurricular stuff is boring or not funny or sophomoric or whatever, then you've got a problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, long matches are fine if you've got a guy, you know, if you've got two guys that can do a long match, I'm all for that. I don't need to see Visser and Charlie Haas have a 15-minute match. I'm totally fine with that thing being 1 minute long.
Well, you know, don't you? I mean, that whole, like you say, why do you, you know, you try not to think about that entire thing. But, I mean, it was like when she jumped up there, whole guy stops, and they were barely even touching each other at the time, right? I mean, it's just, okay, we have to do this. Let's go through it. Let's don't stop and think about it. Let's don't make sense out of it. Let's just do it.
Yeah.
And that's basically what they're up to.
Well, there are a lot of things in WWE, and that might have been one of them, where people get their revenge on people on air, and we have to sit through it. I mean, we've seen it a million times with WWE.
Sure.
And that could very well have been an example. Things really started going downhill for her when she actually got that wrist injury, because they felt that she made a way bigger deal out of it than it actually was. And this could have just been a deal where they know she can't act. They know she shouldn't be in these skits.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to make her do them. I guess for their own entertainment. But when they do that, you know, 5 million people have to sit there and suffer through it, and that's not a concern for them.
Right. There's a question for you from Miss Destiny, Brian. She wants to know what your first ever wrestling personality was.
My first ever wrestling personality?
Yeah.
Like way back when I was doing Backyard or wrestler?
I assume pro.
When I was a pro wrestler, my very first match was under a mask, because I was a referee on the show.
Uh-huh.
And they put me under a mask in the opener as Super Chico, because when I was a referee, Tim Flowers always called me Chico because I was Mexican. Apparently that's the only Mexican name he could think of.
Right.
He couldn't just call me Brian.
Right.
So I was Super Chico, and I wrestled the match. I went back. I put on all my ref gear. I ran out for match two as a referee, and nobody was fooled. And so people were chanting Chico during the match as I refereed. And
oh, man.
Tony was like, or I'm sorry, Tim was like, well, that's your gimmick for life now. And it was.
That's a good story. We gotta run. We're running out of time for you, Brian. But we'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Don't forget, guys, check out the Figure Four Weekly newsletter. Thank you. Let me spit that out at 4...
F4W Online.
Thank you.
And the Brian and Vinny show is a freebie.
Yes, it actually is.
That's right. There's a free Brian and Vinny show today, F4WOnline.com. We've actually got about 80 different URLs for people to get confused, but some of them are rather lewd.
I felt like the Miz trying to spit that line out. But
just try IHateMaria.com. I think that one works. I'm not sure.
Sweet.
If not, F4WOnline.com, VinnyIsAGoober.com. LarryandBalky.com, a lot of different options.
And also on Sunday nights, Brian co-hosts Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer.
Yes.
That's right.
The two men in the business.
Yes.
But one last thing before we go, guys. You did not mention the one bright spot on Saturday night's main event.
Uh-oh.
I'm very ashamed of you guys. The bull riding competition. Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
Excellent stuff. Excellent stuff. We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we got some more news for you. Les Thatcher and I are going to play the pay-per-view prediction game. Great American Bash is coming up on Sunday.
God, I can't wait.
You love this game. And, of course, Johnny Fairplay on the way. Stick around, guys. We'll be right back.
Brian, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
After this.
Here's the latest news and information on Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip. It's just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hi, my name's Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling Soft, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Doc Young, Les Thatcher back here with you at Wrestling Weekly. Well, there is a big pay-per-view this weekend, Les.
Yes, there
well,
is.
Well, there's a pay-per-view this weekend.
Yes, they're all big.
I had to get that dig in. But the Great American Bash is on, of course, Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, live only on pay-per-view. And it's time for Les and I to play the prediction game. And here's how it goes. We're going to take each match. He's going to pick a winner. I'm going to pick a winner. We get a point for each. Whoever gets the most points wins. We'll find out who's the winner next week
and
on the show.
And you win a new Corvette or something, right?
Yes.
Okay,
well,
cool.
It's bragging rights.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
I get to say, you know, I beat Les Thatcher at the pay-per-view prediction game.
Yeah, all right.
And I'll make you sign the 8x10 that way.
You tell your girlfriend that, too, don't you?
She gets very impressed. She's like,
well, it doesn't take a lot to impress her.
No,
all I can
She's blonde. No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
She says, oh, Doc, you're so smart. Anyway.
She's blind, too. Go ahead.
First up, the WWE Tag Team Champions, Brian Kendrick and Paul London versus the Pit Bulls. It's going to be a tag team championship match.
You know, now see, logic would say, tell me to put the straps on Cash and Noble because I like the baby faces chasing the heels,
mm-hmm.
You know. And I like Kendrick, and Spanky spent time with me in HWA. London, I don't know, but I like his work. I would burn both their costumes and put them in wrestling trunks.
Right.
But anyway, I would go with them. I'll take the Pit Bulls because I know you're going to take Spanky and London.
You are absolutely wrong.
Oh, okay.
Big Jamie Noble fan. I'm going with the Pit Bulls on that one also.
Okay.
A triple threat match for the U.S. Championship. It is, of course, Bobby Lashley, William Regal, and Fit Finlay in a triple threat match.
Well, see, they would think that this puts Lashley in a bad situation, which it should, honestly, which I would guess that's the reason they're doing it, and they're probably going to let him win. I mean, Finlay just got the belt. I would be, you know what, I said, if it is such a basic worker, and I say that, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. I'm very high on Fitz's psychology and work ethic and work rate and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
But I, you know, and I would leave the belt where it's at, but I get a feeling they're going to, you know, since they're stacking a deck against Lashley, that they'll go with Lashley.
You think they're going to go with Lashley? I'm going to go with Finley on this one.
Well, see, I'm trying to think like these idiot writers. trying not to think like someone has spent 46 years in the wrestling.
Yeah, it's actually like it's messing with your mind, this game.
Yeah, it's really like, okay, what makes sense? Let's do something else.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you know, sometimes you got to employ a new strategy. When it comes to new games.
Strategy, call it what you like, okay?
The Undertaker versus the Great Khali in a Punjabi prison match. Punjabi prison match.
What
the first ever.
Punjabi prison match?
I have no idea, and they won't tell us.
That's what I thought. They don't know either.
That's what the announcers are saying.
It's not that they're trying to keep a secret from you. They just don't know either. If Taker's putting a guy over, then I'm, you know, Mark's a nice guy. I I don't even know Khali, but I just don't see the value. I honestly don't. The guy is, except for his talent is being big. Past, I mean, now they say, you know, I was in bodybuilding. They say he was a good bodybuilder. And I would admire him for that, because a guy that tall to get in any kind of shape to win a contest is phenomenal.
Right.
I mean, it is, you got to realize your top bodybuilders, most of them are under 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's easier to put on the shorter, thicker muscled guys look bigger, you know.
Right.
And the taller guys just don't make for great bodybuilders. So, but anyway. I've got to go with Taker.
You're going with Taker on this?
Yeah.
My thinking is that...
Since it's a Punjabi match, that the guy who invented it will win it, right?
Well, definitely, you know, the Punjabi prison is going to play a big effect in this match and the outcome.
Does that mean that the loser has to go to that prison and stay or something?
I have no clue. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, see, there's the other thing, too. Going back to logic, if you're debuting a match that's never been done, then you should be telling people weeks leading into that match the rules of the match, what might be injurious to someone's health because of that match, or why one guy has an advantage and the other one doesn't, but they don't even talk about those things.
Well, maybe this is a situation of them trying to add the element of surprise to the pay-per-view.
Okay. Okay.
It's their way of doing it.
The surprise will be if I watch the match.
The surprise will be if they get more than 300,000 buys.
Right.
I hope Vince don't listen to this show. But anyway, The Undertaker...
I don't think you have to worry.
My belief is that The Undertaker needs to get his heat back on this one. And that they think that Khali, being as big as he is not going to lose that much by losing this match to The Undertaker and losing this feud to The Undertaker, because this pretty much sounds like a blow-off match to me. But they're going to be wrong. And Khali is not going to last very long after The Undertaker defeats Khali in the Punjabi prison match.
There you go.
That's all I have to say about that.
Okay.
Batista's open challenge. Batista versus who?
Well, then how do you pick a winner? I think since it's Dave's first shot back, you almost got to put him over whoever it is. Unless they're, again, a lot of that depends, you know, it would make sense to have somebody sneak over him in some kind of heelish way if it's a
yes.
strong heel and they're going to bring him back to do something with him.
Yeah, but, and put him in a program right away.
But otherwise, I would say they'll probably go with they'll probably go with Batista.
I'm going to go with you on this one. I'm going to say Batista flattens whoever comes out of that aisle. And finally, the World Championship match, of course, Rey Mysterio versus King Booker.
King Booker. Well, again, I think there'll be the strap on Ray Ray, because he's going to be around. I know he needs a knee surgery. Book, you know, and there's the other thing. Book did the job Saturday night in the tag, which is, you know, you can disguise it in the tag, but I don't know.
Go with the even Steven booking, though.
Now, if you're talking about entertainment, I think Charbel and Book are entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I like William Regal. He's a personal friend, and I respect him. But if he says "Hail to the King" one more time, if I had a gun, I'd shoot him. My wife doesn't watch the matches, and she walks through the room during that, and she says, "That upsets me. How could you stand that?" I said, "Well, it's heat, but I'm not sure it's the right."
Exactly.
But anyway, you don't have to practice those lines, do you, after you say the same? Hail King Booker about 4 million times.
We've agreed on almost everything.
That's sad.
I'm going to go with King Booker then.
That is.
Just to add a little excitement to the game, I'm going to go with King Booker. I'm going to say King Booker is going to be finally an African-American WWE champion. Woo!
Okay. Whatever you just said.
It's my little political statement.
There, obviously, Ray's going to take some time off at some point. But, again, the roster right now is soft, and if they can persuade him to stay, I'm sure they will.
Absolutely. Great American Bash coming up this Sunday, July 23rd at 8 p.m. Eastern. Check it out, guys.
Uh-huh.
Or at least tell us what happened. I can't stop myself, Les.
I know. You know what? Here's what I'm wondering. There's been all kinds of hot bodies all over the television, and you haven't talked about it. Now, is this something you're doing for Lent for next year? You're not talking about hot women or... they had bull riding. They had the hottest heel in WWE recent history. The Miz eliminated a girl last night. Hoorah! And
hoorah!
Hoorah! Yes.
But the Diva Search this year, usually somebody always sticks out at me, and I'm like, oh, I want her to win.
What I thought was the funniest line on Raw.
What?
Was it when Hunter looked at the tape on his wrist and said, sorry, Miz.
Yeah.
I thought the big surprise on there was that Miz still had a job.
I was also waiting to see if he was going to come out and do that again or if it was going to be somebody else. I was actually but you got to know that if Hunter did that on live TV like that, they must be ripping him apart in the back, just teasing the hell out of him
week. I'm sure.
But like I was saying, usually in the Diva Search, I focus on somebody I want them to win. It was that case with Christy Hemme, with Maria. But
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Doc is now, in retrospect, telling you he picked all the winners of the Diva Search.
No, Maria did not win, actually.
Like, I'm going to pick the winner of the World Series this year after the seventh game. Okay?
But you know from D'Lo Brown, I love redheads. So I saw Christy Hemme. It was all over for me.
Okay,
I was dialing every week.
You know what? If I have to pick my favorite, Layla.
Really? She's got the most personality, I think.
Well, she's also... I don't know. She just, it will probably be one of the standard issue blondes with huge breasts. But
right.
I don't know.
But Layla seems to have the most charisma.
Yeah. Yeah,
in my opinion. And probably, the cutest one was the one that was, in my opinion, was the one that got released last night.
You know what? I'm sure
she wanted to go by looks.
I'm sure she was sincere in her emotional upheaval about being eliminated, and I thought, God.
Hey, $250,000?
Well,
yeah.
That's, I'd
try.
Emotional about losing 250 grand.
Exactly. Let's get into some news here. Got some leftover news from the week. The new CW network has announced that the season premiere of Friday Night SmackDown is going to take place on September 22nd. The headaches of preemptions is something that'll be going away soon when that takes place in
the
next 2 months.
Can I tell you that SmackDown was not on in Cincinnati last Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
It was the Hawaiian Tropic Bikini Contest.
It's not going well for SmackDown and preemptions this year.
Well, I had no idea it was going to preempt until I started, to plug it in to DVR it. I actually watched programming that I was interested in. No, I'm being a smart ass.
There was a news story that I didn't pick up for the show tonight, but there was a station in Texas right near Dallas
that didn't show Saturday
that
Night
didn't
Live.
Show yeah. Saturday night's main event when it was like 40 miles away. Now that is telling you something.
Well, and then I also read on the Insider site a guy who had was lived in that marketing area. And he called or wrote the station letter, and they wrote back and said, we're, always happy to hear from our viewers, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And they went on to babble and never did give him an answer why they didn't show it. So, Why they didn't show it, I have no earthly idea.
The station owner might hate wrestling. You never know.
You know, while we've got a moment, there's a funny situation, too, in being involved in the television end of this business and having dealt with station managers, programming directors on different stations. It's funny, things you would not understand. I know one time I talked to a station manager that they were moving our show around, and due to tennis or golf, I forget which it was right now, it's back in the 70s, and he said to me, he said, we don't pull good ratings with it. You guys pull better ratings than tennis or golf, but it's the prestige that the owners of the station see.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, I guess it's why USA runs the dog show, right? The Westminster dog show every year.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what kind of numbers that actually pulls, but I'm sure, it doesn't get the ratings that Raw gets. But yet, they've always, in their infinite wisdom, preempted. So it's not always, and a lot of times, it sometimes comes down to management's pick. Realize that these stations that are tied into networks, they are obligated to run X number of network specials and stuff on a yearly basis.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also can't preempt. But obviously on this one we're talking about in Texas, it wasn't like there was something exciting going on locally.
Right. It wasn't preempted for a sports event.
No, it was a movie, wasn't it?
It was a movie.
And a wedding or
four
something.
Four weddings and a funeral they showed. Yeah, but that just surprised me. For everybody who knows my bio, I used to work at a UPN affiliate in Indiana. Now, when this was right around the time when they started doing SmackDown, and it was on Thursday nights, the station was so excited to do SmackDown, to get SmackDown on their network, that we had to have a lottery draw to see who would be the engineer during that night and that time.
I think I know why they didn't run it here. Because I know the owner of the station. I've worked with him. I've done work on his show, on his station. I've done on-air stuff there. They taped the first Pillman show and aired it on their station.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going. What's in the call letters for the new network? CP or
CW?
CW. Yeah. Okay. But they're not going to be the CW network, I'm told here. Elliot may have, out of spite, I don't know. I mean, I say that, and I'm saying it in a joking manner, but it may be true. He may have just said, well, the hell with it. I'm not going to air it because I'm going to air something else, When I say that, this guy started, he retired early from a company here, took his early retirement, started his station on, you couldn't get it outside the Belt Highway here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And fought with Time Warner to get on the cable. Now his only exposure on the cable is from 6 p.m. to midnight. That's all Time Warner will give him. And other than that, you have to be able to pick him up with your rabbit ears or just in a normal situation. But I mean, he's turned it into something. In terms of, is he making money now? Yes, and it started from scratch. I'm trying to think, 15. Maybe 20 years ago, maybe that. No, not that far back. I don't think. But anyway, he's busted his hump and turned his station into something, and now he's going to lose his network affiliation, as far as I know. But
what's he going to go? Syndicated programming? Or?
I guess I don't know. I think that this. I'm under the impression that CP is going to or CW or whatever the hell it is going to be on some other station here locally.
Wow.
So I don't know.
Bad news. Well, it may have been us, but you never know.
Well, I'm thinking that the Hawaiian Tropic Bikini Contest was probably taped anyway, right? So he could have run it at any point in time that he wanted. I don't think it was a network. Well, I know it wasn't a network because UPN was running SmackDown, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it was a network. I mean, so it was obviously a tape, so he could have run it Saturday morning or next week or whatever.
Right.
So, and like I say, until I started, scrolling through and to find and to get ready to DVR it, I didn't realize it wasn't going to be on.
Wow.
So, anyway, I couldn't tell you what happened and see it.
The chat room is now saying that I'm intoxicated during this program because I'm acting overly silly tonight.
they've never talked to you when you were off the air.
No.
Well, actually, it's Doc's just waking up now.
No, actually, I got up pretty early.
He's going to be a guest on Blade on Spike TV on the Vampire Show. Doc stays up all night, you guys. And
yes, I do.
Sleeps during the day.
Yes, I do. I'm nocturnal. That's how I get that. See, and I'm also part Mexican, like I was telling Brian Alvarez.
Yeah.
So I keep that light tan that way. You know, I don't get too dark because I'm never in the sun. I just have a nice light tan.
I know. I understand that. Is he intoxicated? I have no earthly idea.
No.
Sometimes some of the programming we talk about, I feel like I need to be high to watch it.
Yeah, that's true. That helps.
Anyway.
But no. In all honesty,
I
learned back in college never to drink and then go on the air. I learned it all the way back then, and it became a rule. So you will never hear me intoxicated on the air.
Okay, good.
It's after the show.
Okay.
Okay.
If you're trying to shock me, you got to realize the business I've spent my life in.
It's like, all right.
You can't shock me.
Well, I was just trying to make you laugh.
I know.
We're going to take a quick break, guys. And when we come back, the man from the reality world is going to be here. Johnny Fairplay coming up on Wrestling Weekly. Stick around, guys. We'll be right back after this.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Hi, my name is Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
a total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Welcome back to Wrestling Weekly. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you here. On the line right now, our featured guest. He is, of course, the most hated Survivor contestant ever for making up a little story about his grandmother dying to get sympathy on Survivor. Johnny Fairplay is on the program. Johnny, I want to thank you. Of course, you do wrestling, too.
Yes, I do wrestling. So I just said doo-doo. So everyone laughed.
Well, we're talking about doing wrestling. Let's start where honestly Johnny got involved. You grew up around the Greensboro area, right?
Wow, you did your homework, Jesus!
I've wrestled in that story Coliseum several times in my life.
I guarantee I've seen you a million times. I grew up in Danville, Virginia, which is about 45 minutes south of Greensboro, North Carolina. And from age 4 on, I went to the Greensboro Coliseum once a month until I was 18 years old to watch wrestling.
Wow.
So I saw everything in Mid-Atlantic, like I called whenever WWF came through here. Every single indie show. I mean, like, I remember being at, like, the South Boston Fair watching Jimmy Jam Garvin against Denny Brown. I mean,
wow!
I paid my dues, brother.
So, wrestling country, right? I mean, where you grew up. I mean, it was when Mid-Atlantic was gone. There was still there. Well, you know, I still go. My stepdaughter lives in Charlotte, and I go down and train the guys at High Spots occasionally too. But there still must be a million indie groups in that area right now, huh?
Absolutely, and that's where I actually started in pro wrestling. I worked for New Dimension Wrestling, and I started in '98. The Hardy Boys were there, Shannon Moore, Shane Helms, Joey Abs. God, there's Bo Duff. I used to manage Bo Duff. I started wrestling. I came in as a manager, and I was initially trained by the Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez. And then later, Axel Rotten from ECW guided my career once I moved to.
I just saw Manny in Vegas last month.
Oh, wow.
And he was sober.
All right, quit ribbing. What's the punchline?
Well, I missed the best. Honestly, I run, when we do Cauliflower Alley, I do a two-day training camp for the independent guys that come to the convention, and Manny came in and helped out, and well, he's actually the last couple of years I've seen him out there, and then I missed the best part. Roland Alexander from APW told me I'd gone up back upstairs, and they were still down at the bar, and Manny was playing one of the poker games built into the bar, and asked for his drink, and the bartender told him he hadn't played enough poker to get a free drink. So Manny wanted to pull him across the bar.
Tremendous. That's a Manny story that I know.
When I introduced him to the kids that were training, I said, I'm going to introduce you to a gentleman now who, if you've seen his in-ring work, you can copy it. If you've seen his out-of-ring work, don't do any of it because it'll either get you killed or in jail.
Exactly. That's like I'm good friends with Bruce Mitchell from The Torch, and I ran into Michael Hayes the other night. I was hanging out with like Jeff Hardy and Michael Hayes and a few other guys. And he comes there and he's just like, oh, my God, I remember the days when Michael Hayes would pull out his penis and take a leak on the guy sitting beside him at the bar. And I'm like, well, that's
oh
what
God.
I do. I'm like, that's what I do now. I didn't know I was ripping off anybody, though. Jesus, I mean, give me a gimmick infringement.
Some of your best work's been done in bars, right?
Yeah, definitely my best work is done in bars. You obviously watch Kill Reality.
You and I were talking before we went on the air, and one person we have in common is a guy I started in the business, Shark Boy. He's a friend of yours, right?
Oh, my God. I have the greatest Shark Boy story of all time.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Sharkboy sent me a mask. I'd been begging Sharkboy for a mask for like a year and a half. I took Sharkboy out on his birthday, like my second week in TNA. Sharkboy and I have been the best of friends since, and I love the guy. And I wanted a Sharkboy mask just to wear to clubs in LA. I mean, like, I go to the hottest clubs in LA. Like when I go out, I see Paris Hilton, I used to see Britney before, you know, all the kids and all. I see Ashton and all that. And I was like, I'm gonna rock the Sharkboy mask. Like, I've rocked the Sharkboy mask at a LA Dodger game before. But anyway, so I go out with this girl one night, and she's smoking hot, and we get back to my place, and like, we're very happy two times in a row, and I was like, I've got to do it again. So I look over at her. I was like, can you do it with the Sharkboy mask on? And she was like, I don't know if I can look at you wearing the mask. I'm like, I'm not going to be the one wearing it. long story short, she wore the mask, guys.
Oh my God!
And I went over.
I'll tell you a real funny story, but I won't tell you about who was involved because, but there was a masked wrestler in the territory, and this girl was just really mad for him. And another wrestler started to rib, and then I was in on the tail end of it. But anyway, he kept telling her, he said, the guy never takes his mask off. You got to realize this was back.
I know where this is going.
This was back in the '60s, right? So, which, you know, when kayfabe was strong, and so anyway, the buildup is that she finally comes to the hotel and she's going to go to the guy's room, and so the guy who started the rib and everything, he's outside the room with another one of the guy's masks, and goes through this whole. I'm standing there watching it, biting through my tongue to keep him laughing because she's deadly serious, and he made her put the mask on before she could enter the guy's room.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with the guy's buddy took the mask from him.
No,
I thought,
no.
That's how you do it. There's so many times I've taken out Sharkboy, and like he also wrestles as Dean Baldwin,
right.
And instead of introducing him as like when I'd go out in TNA and stuff, like, I mean, I'd go to the cool clubs. Like most wrestlers go to the hotel bar. Like, I'm not a hotel bar guy. Like, I go to the cool clubs. So I'd go to the cool clubs, and I'd take out Sharkboy. I was like, this is Dean Baldwin, the most handsome of the Baldwin brothers. And they know that I'm famous, and I live in Hollywood, and they're like, oh, my God, like, are you really a Baldwin? Dude, he has more fans in downtown Orlando as Dean Baldwin than he does in the Impact Zone as Sharkboy. And the guy gets a pop.
I think it's a great gimmick. Once I saw him do it, I said, we're going to use it in HWA for a while. And he and my, not Matt Stryker, the school teacher, but my Matt Stryker, the Cruiserweight, they worked a program with the whole thing, and Dean did some great interviews, you know, with the martini glass and the whole thing.
Oh yeah, no, like I've done one indie show since Survivor. Everything else has been TNA, and the only indie show I did was for Sharkboy, and I came in and like Dean Baldwin put up the Survivor money, he put up his promotion against my Survivor money, and so I did the thing, and you know, like, we walked in, we did shots, and like we always do about this time. And I came there, and I was like, you know, so we made the deal. I was like, well, what you didn't know is I slipped a Mickey in your shot. So you're going to be going to sleep any second now, because, like, when he put up his company, it was going to be Evil Sharkboy versus Sharkboy, but Dean Baldwin was going to be in Sharkboy's corner.
Ooh.
So we did the thing where I slipped into Mickey, so he was carried out on a stretcher, so he couldn't be in Sharkboy's corner.
That's funny.
I used to tease him about it. I said, can't you think of three or four more characters, and you don't have to book so many people on your show.
Exactly. He'll work every one.
you were talking about earlier about that. You're friends with Bruce Mitchell from the Pro Wrestling Torch.
Yeah, yeah.
He is a semi-regular on the show. And we have him in every few weeks, and we discuss.
He was there. I talked to him right after he got the phone with you guys last week.
Right, and he was on the show last week, and he said that you thought that Mike Mizanin was annoying.
No, that's here's the deal with the Miz, okay? And like, I think the Miz is a perfect heel, okay?
Right.
And a lot of the guys in the WWE office don't agree with that. So they're like, oh, my God, they go crazy for him. And I'm like, the guy's a heel. Here's the deal. I mean, like, me and the Miz, we became really good friends. And, like, you know, we hang out or whatever. But I mean, like, when we're together, like we'll go to a bar and, like, give Flair chops, like, 10 times each until we both have blood on our chest.
Right.
And like a lot of people think, you know, I'm pretty over the top in like, real life. Like, what you see on TV is a fraction of how insane I am. I mean, like, when I go out, I mean, like, no, honestly, I mean, like, I'm crazy. I mean, like, you know, I had the best time of my entire life every single night that I go out. Every night. I mean, like, that's a guarantee.
Why did you tone it down for TV?
I don't tone it down. Like, it's just, like, you have to edit time-wise.
Oh, okay. All right.
just to show it all, you know. I'm just too good. So, but me and the Miz together is, honestly, it's too much for most people. That's the thing. So
right.
It's not that he's annoying, but God, you put the two of us together, and like me by myself, I'm a bit much for most people, and him by himself, we're a bit much for most people.
So
but you know, that's why we make a lot more money than most people.
So you're like,
if you manage the Miz, then chances are your gimmick would never get out of the dressing room. Somebody there would take care of it, right?
Yeah, hey, you know what? That's an easy night, right? I mean, like I signed the greatest contract in the history of pro wrestling, and Kevin Nash told me this, so I know it's true. I mean, I did 8 appearances in 40 minutes. For $300,000 for TNA.
Jeez.
There's no one in the history of wrestling that's ever done anything close, except for Jeff Jarrett when he held up Vince.
Right.
Payback's a bitch, huh?
Yeah, I've been in this business 46 years, and I would die for that contract.
Absolutely.
No, is that the greatest contract of all time?
Yeah. I agree.
They wouldn't even have to pay me. I wouldn't even go to the Impact Zone at all. I'd just sit home and take the money if they wanted me to.
I did. I just kept getting checks in the mail. I'm just like, are you guys kidding me?
Sweet.
I mean, like, here's the deal, and I'm not trying to be rude, I'm not trying to be egotistical, you know, I'm just stating fact right here. Here's why I was a bargain for TNA, and here's why, if I were them, I would have me now. Every single week, their promotions department, or their publicist, calls every single radio station in the country, and you know, to advertise either Impact or especially pay-per-views. Especially 2 weeks to the pay-per-view and 1 week to the pay-per-view, they call every single radio station trying to get an interview. Mm-hmm. They call up the radio station, they're like, we have Jeff Jarrett, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. And they're like, I don't know who that is.
Right.
And they're like, we have AJ Styles, the future of professional wrestling. They're like, we have no clue who that is. They're like, we have Samoa Joe. He is the most awesome new wrestler of all time.
Right.
And they're like, we don't know who that is. They're like, we have Monty Brown, the Alpha Male. They go through the roster. They get to Johnny Fairplay. They're like, oh, my God, Johnny Fairplay from Survivor? Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Right.
So what they would do, they would book me. And, you know, in half the time, or actually I would say probably 3/4 of the time or even more, they want me to talk about Survivor. Well, the good thing is I can control any interview I do, and I'm just like, hey, guess what we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about TNA wrestling.
Right.
And that's what I did, and you know what? They got exposure, tons of exposure. And you know what? And that's a good deal for them.
Wow.
But at the same time, they need to use me because when people watch, and I know Survivor fans watch, I mean, like one of the top 20 names every single week on Yahoo, or actually top 10 names every single week on Yahoo, when Survivor's on the air, is Survivor. That's one of the top 10 things that comes up on under the search.
Mm-hmm.
So you go on there, like the Survivor message boards, they're insane. They're deep, like, you think pro wrestling message boards or something? They got nothing on Survivor.
So
there are 32 million people that watch Survivor, okay? There's 4 million that watch wrestling.
So I bet that the old 80s hair band, they must be getting a ton of hits off Yahoo search.
Yes, absolutely. I bet they are. But no, I mean, like, so, I mean, like, you know, you want to talk about my worth in a company and all that. I mean, I think that's huge.
Yeah, it really is.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you think, I mean, I realize, and I've read this story on several websites and stuff, that the lady, I'm having a senior moment here, the lady that owns the damn company.
Dixie Carter.
Yeah.
Dixie Carter. Dixie Carter hired me. Jeff Jarrett did not.
Right.
The rumor is Jeff Jarrett, you know, he's hired everyone in the company. He was upset that she hired someone that he didn't. And he's never seen the show Survivor. He had no idea how to book me. That's the word I hear. It's like, you know, I'm pretty sure that's what you read. And you know what? That's kind of what I'm going on. Like, I don't know if that's true, based on the conversations with myself and Jeff, I tend to go that direction.
So they've never really said, well, John, here's why we're not using you, or here's why we would use you if you did this or that. So there's never really been that conversation then.
Never, never. I talked to someone off the record in the office, and they said Jeff Jarrett doesn't want anyone with the possibility of stealing his seat. There you go. Wow.
I don't. That's not out of the realm of possibility, in my opinion. No.
What, have you watched the show? Do you know my friend Samoa Joe?
What's your
you know my other friend AJ Styles? My other friend everyone else in the company?
What's your current status right now with TNA? What's going on with that?
My current status is my contract's done. I had a meeting with WWE about 2.5 weeks ago in Roanoke, Virginia. We met with John Laurinaitis, myself, and Michelle Dighton from America's Next Top Model. She also did an appearance on SmackDown with the Mexico with Eminem. And the meeting went well. Paul Heyman came in during the middle of the meeting. Tommy Dreamer came in during the meeting. I talked with Heyman afterwards. He loves the fit. He asked, you know, what show I'd want to be on. I said, well, you know, Raw needs no help. You guys are flawless there. I'd like to work with The Miz. I was like, but it looks like he's tied up in the Diva thing for at least 8 weeks. I'd like to start sooner than that. I was like, so, you know, I don't foresee you guys changing him. I think ECW is the perfect fit. I mean, like my opening interview would be, I walk in there and I go, you talk about your barbed wire baseball bats. That's not extreme. You talk about your steel chairs, that's not extreme. You talk about flaming tables, that's not extreme. You want to talk extreme? Extreme is living on an island for 38 days.
Oh,
extreme is having sex with Trishelle without a condom. That is extreme.
And dangerous, I must add.
It's definitely hardcore.
Very bad for your health.
I'm hardcore.
All the thumbtacks, right?
So, but also, here's your exclusive right here. I've also been talking with the people at MAV TV. They have their new wrestling promotion. The first filming is September 9th in West Virginia. And they're going to be on, I think, starting September 23rd on MAV TV. It's they're kind of like the new Spike. They're on Verizon cable right now and Charter cable. They're just finishing up a deal with Dish Network. And they're also available, I guess, online, whatever. They have a big deal with Europe that just happened. And anyway, they're talking to me about doing the wrestling and being the face of MAV TV. I have my producers actually having a meeting as we speak in Los Angeles with the head of MAV TV. And they're talking about me doing a reality show for them and, you know, kind of like being the WB Frog for the network.
Cool. What were you saying, Les?
I was saying, is MAV based in L.A.? Is that where they're at, John?
Yep, they're based out of L.A.
Yeah. Okay.
So we got the scoop on this story.
Yeah,
it's huge. And you know what? It might be a better fit than Johnny Fairplay and ECW, to be honest with you. Yeah. I mean, the wrestling stuff would be fun. I mean, but you know, what am I known for? What do I do best? I mean, I'm the king of reality TV. So they're giving my own reality TV show that I host, and I do the wrestling. Come on, that's a good gig.
Victoria Lee has a question in the chat room. She says, you've been on a couple reality shows now. Aside from The Miz, do you think any of your reality co-stars would make good wrestlers?
I had the angle in TNA that we just filmed the intro for, and that was completely dropped, where I would fight a different reality star every week. And, you know, and have a wrestling match, you know, and it would be, you know, fixed or whatever, like the girls, like, you know, I would like, you know, throw powder in the girls' eyes and stuff like, I do mostly girls for a while, and then I get to guys, and eventually I'd lose to Rupert. That was the storyline. Well, Rupert didn't want to have anything to do with it, and I was just like, you know what, I was like, this is better than Rupert. I was like, look at Strahla the Midget from The Amazing Race. I was like, we build up, I get to her, I was like, I lose to her, you know, I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want anything. They're like, no. And I'm like, oh, okay, because she's only on, God, what, Just Shoot Me or whatever like the number one show that was that week.
Mm-hmm.
She was on that. I'm like, yeah, you guys aren't staying hip. They're like, you know, no one knows who she is. I'm like, yeah, that's why the number one show in America wanted her to do a guest spot, you know. So, and then she did that show, The Comeback. Gosh, it was ridiculous.
But you were talking about possibly going to ECW. What would you like to do there? Would you like to manage or be an on-screen character or wrestle?
I'd like actually pretty much the same deal like that I'm interested with MAV TV is doing the bad guy manager and like a weekly talk show like a Piper's Pit. I mean, you know, I learned from the best.
Rhode Island Red says, "What was it like when Roddy Piper blasted you with a fire extinguisher?"
It was horrible. Like, there's two different fire extinguishers that you can use. One has the chemicals and one doesn't.
Right.
Like, they use the one that had chemicals. I mean,
oh,
like,
man.
And here's the thing, like, right here, like, this is the biggest thing that upsets me more than anything in the world, is with the thumbtacks, all right, suppose there's 10,000 thumbtacks in that bag, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least, I'm saying at least, 8,000 of those thumbtacks should be thumbtack backs with sticky on the back of it, all
right? Right.
And then the rest of them should be real thumbtacks, you know, just, you know, to catch it on the camera.
Just to minimize the pain.
Yeah, I mean, why? I mean, like, dude, I mean, like, you don't, it's smoke and mirrors. Like, you know, if you don't have to do that, why would you, you know? I mean, they use stick baseball bats. Why can't you use stick-em thumbtack bats? Like, what's the difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, like, I told this to, you know, some of the guys that use thumbtacks, and they're like, that's not real. <I'm> like, okay, never mind. I'm just saying, us folks in Hollywood think a little different. we might not be the smartest.
So when I go and I see your names on websites and stuff like that, I always see it spelled two ways. Is it with an H or is it not with
there
an H?
There is no H in Johnny Fairplay.
Yes, I win, guys. They even got it wrong on the website. It says tonight, Johnny Fairplay with an H.
Do you get a lock of my hair for winning?
What? You get a lock of the hair?
I don't want to be alone. I'll get off and go over here.
No, I got to tell you, Les, Johnny Fairplay is rocking the fro.
Oh, dude,
he's rocking the blonde fro.
It's huge now. I haven't cut my hair in, God, almost 8 months now. So, like, you haven't even seen how big it is. Like I'm rocking the dual ponytails right now. Like I look like two Shawn Michaels standing next to each other.
Let me ask
I'm allowed to show my butt.
You mentioned your agent, and excuse me, in L.A. Other than the reality shows and wrestling, have you auditioned for like parts on any sitcoms or series or anything?
Yeah, I after Survivor, I was under contract to CBS for 1 year and wasn't allowed to do anything else without their approval. They gave me approval to do TNA just because it was on pay-per-view. Once they switched over to Fox, like, they weren't happy with it, but they had already given me permission to work for this company, and I would have been in violation of my contract if they wouldn't let me.
Right.
So that I got to do, and then, like, on, which was a huge thing for TNA, and I have plenty of problems with this as a result of this. But I was on the America's Tribal Council, which went up against the series finale of Frasier, and we beat it, like, 30 million to 20 million. I mean, it was huge. It was the number one show in America, like, bam, you know, big, whatever. I was on there. I won the award for best fight, best on-screen moment, and biggest villain in the history of the show. I received 32 million out of 38 million votes, which is the most votes in the history of online voting ever.
Wow.
So you get
so I was on there, and I come there, and they're like, you know, I walked up and they're like, hey, Johnny Fairplay, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I thought this was the auditions for All-Star 2. And they're like, oh, are you upset you weren't on the first one? I was like, whoa, I didn't do the first one because I chose pro wrestling. I'm on TNA Wrestling starting June 7th. You'll see it on Fox Sports every Friday afternoon at, you know, 4 p.m. And, like, that made it through, like, they didn't block that. If TNA wanted to buy an ad right there for that, it would have cost them probably $5 million. But you know what? They couldn't have even bought it because you can't advertise Fox on CBS.
Right.
So that was the biggest, I mean, like, I'm worth every penny of my contract right there, plus more. Guess what? Come June 7th, the premiere episode of Impact, I wasn't on it.
Right.
And I'm like, you guys are morons. I just told 30 million people I was going to be on there. I mean, if there's going to be one day you're going to use me, guess what? That's the day I'm choosing if I'm you.
You know, a lot of people don't understand publicity. When MTV came to me to do the, I'm a wrestler. A lot of people said, what'd you get for that? I said, are you ribbing me?
Yes.
How many times that thing ran, a 90-minute show, and I said, I couldn't, if I'd have sold everything I've ever owned in my life, I couldn't afford to bought that time, for Christ.
Never, ever. Like, every single thing, like here's a big thing, I do appearances. I get like $7,500 an appearance to go to a mall or something. And real world people get like $500. And I'm just like, wow. I was like, why is that possible? And they're like, dude, you guys get 30.8 million viewers every week and they get 1.8. I'm like, yeah, but their show reruns 80 times a week and they get a 1.8 every single time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I was like, if you add that up, guess what? That's more than my 30.2.
Johnny, we got to get going. We're running out of time, but I want to thank you for being on the show. It's been interesting. You're a funny guy, and we appreciated having you.
Well, I think that was a different interview than you expected.
I'm going to tell Shark Boy that you outed him, too.
And I'm going to tell him that he needs to send me a mask, too. I'm going to say, you gave Johnny Fairplay a mask, and I want mine. I want what's coming to me.
Shark Boy has told his wife that if he ever gets any naked pictures of Shark Boy with a girl, that he has sent me a mask. I don't know if that's a personal thing that he's working on, or if that is in conjunction with John Fairplay. So, hey, Les, thank you for introducing me to the world of rapid fire Rory Fox.
All right,
a rapid delivery.
Welcome. You know more about my guys than I do. Johnny, it's been a pleasure. It really has. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you very much, guys. You guys rule.
Bye, right. Guys. Bye.
Take care, man.
Well, guys, that's going to wrap things up. Don't forget to check out, of course, LesThatcher.com and EPWT.com for all the info about Les. Don't forget to check out ObsessedWithWrestling.com and check us out this week, WrestlingWeekly.com. We've got all the news for you. And, of course, keep checking the website to find out who we're going to have next week. Les, we're a couple minutes over, but I'm sure, of course, the Irish Whip is going to forgive us. ECW coming on tonight, guys, at a new time, a special time tonight, an hour from now.
Yeah, 11 o'clock.
On the East Coast.
Right.
All right, guys, we're out of here. Let's wrap things up, and we'll be back with you next week.
See you next week.
Here on Wrestling Weekly. Bye, guys.